The terror attacks of 9/11 altered the course of so many people's lives in big and small ways. And on many levels, they changed how we do things. Intelligence gathering, airport security, of course, helping first responders. A lot of research happened in the years following the attacks, and one area of intense interest has been emergency responses. How do humans react during this kind of crisis when every moment could count? What makes a difference in getting out? Alana Gordon has more.
I didn't feel like I could start this story anywhere other than, well, ground zero.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is World Trade Center.
So the other week, I hopped on a train and headed to the 9/11 Memorial Plaza. I walked over to what would have been the site of the North Tower. Around the perimeter, there's this dark, waist-level wall, and engraved on it are the names of the many people, thousands, who died on 9/11. And then lining those edges, I saw people, lots of people, gazing up, leaning in. I talked with one man who was looking for the names of two friends he lost. On the other side of that wall, in the footprint where the tower once stood, is a waterfall, nearly an acre in size. The water cascades down the sides, shimmering in the sunlight. It descends into a pool that drops down again into a smaller square that appears to have no bottom. Peter Miller knows what once stood here very well.
Most of my career, I was on the 65th floor, 63rd, 64th, but right in that area of the North Tower.
Miller had been working inside the World Trade Center for the Port Authority since the 80s. I met up with him at his apartment many blocks north of the site. Miller's soft-spoken, he has a neatly trimmed white beard. He brings me back to that day, that morning, 14 years ago. He had been on vacation and had come into the office early to catch up.
And I was settled into my computer. My office was on the north side with windows looking out up to the George Washington Bridge and the Empire State Building. And it was just a beautiful day.
At 8:46 a.m., the plane hit his building. He felt a huge jolt. He thought the floor would cave in. It didn't.
I remember people even on our side of the floor who got up off the floor after the impact and said, "What was that?" They didn't hear the plane. So the senses sort of select which one works, I guess.
He and a colleague went toward the center, gathering others with them.
I did take a few steps towards the stairs and then a few steps back to my office to get my backpack. And
wait, you went back to get your backpack?
Yeah. Bad move, I know. Not operating procedure.
Another coworker wanted to stay at her desk.
She said, "I'm waiting for instructions. Aren't we all supposed to wait for instructions? I'm waiting for instructions."
In the years since 9/11, many have reviewed these critical evacuation moments in hopes of improving response efforts in the future.
We found that on average, people delayed 6 minutes from the time of the first impact of either building before they started their egress out of the building.
Robin Gershon is a public health disaster researcher who was at Columbia at the time. She led a major study of the 9/11 evacuation. It took years to complete. Miller says he and other survivors wanted to take part to find meaning out of that horrific day.
I had this more abstract sense of why should I survive when so many people died, or what can I learn from this?
Gershon says people's responses paint a complex picture. She found the evacuation in many ways was a success. The buildings weren't full that day, and most people who were below the floors of the crash made it out. Even so, at least 25 people in her study got out at the very last minute. Gershon says once the plane hit, many were searching for information when there wasn't a whole lot. The PA system was down in the North Tower. And she learned that many, by no fault of their own, lacked important knowledge about emergency preparedness for the building.
When I saw the data staring right at me, I was shocked to find out that so few had any kind of training, had ever even been in the lobby to get the training from the fire safety director at the time.
Some didn't know there were even three different sets of stairs. That's why she says even basic knowledge of a building layout is critical in major disasters. Amanda Ripley is a journalist who covered 9/11 and other major disasters and has also spent a lot of time interviewing survivors. She was curious about those moments, those initial delays. And she says even amid a major incomprehensible situation, people may first enter a phase of denial. They may even freeze up.
It's not that they're idiots. It's that this is a normal human reaction. Given uncertain information, your brain will search for patterns, for explanations that make sense.
She recalls the story of another woman who was in the tower.
She remembers grabbing onto her desk and lifting her feet off the floor and shouting, "What is happening?" But one of the interesting things that happened after this, and this is something that many survivors talk about, is that what she wanted someone to shout back, you know, what she wanted with every fiber of her being was for someone to shout back, "Nothing. Don't be crazy. Go back to work."
What also happens, says Robin Gershon, is something she's noticed in other disasters.
There's some phenomenon that's referred to as the emergent norm. Somebody steps up to the plate to take charge of a group.
It's often a person with previous emergency training, maybe a volunteer fireman or a member of the military, who doesn't freeze up. In the case of Peter Miller, who was in the North Tower on 9/11, he had evacuated the World Trade Center before when a bomb went off in the basement in 1993.
And what we learned in 93 was that there are no instructions. You can't depend on that.
So after the plane hit that day, Miller says he and a colleague checked around for others and guided them to the stairs. But the weight of what was happening, he recalls, hadn't sunk in.
Our experience with 93 gave us a false sense of confidence.
Miller didn't feel like he was in a huge rush to get out, because in 93, there was more time. And evacuating down certain stairs during a high-rise fire can lead to harm, depending on the situation. Ripley says the situation has pluses and minuses. In major disasters, limited information can actually work in people's favor and help them reach safety.
And the good side of that is that it is reassuring to you, and it can sometimes prevent you from just freezing altogether, because the denial kind of cushions the blow of the realization of what's happening.
Ripley was surprised to learn something else about what happened in those stairwells and what she learned happens in a lot of other major disasters.
We kind of naturally assume that in a disaster, people will behave the way they behave at rush hour on the freeway, which is to say, not very nicely, right? I mean, they're under stress, and sometimes people behave badly when they're frightened. But in fact, it's not really in your survival interest. When you ask survivors what it was like in the stairwells, it's not the answer we might expect. I mean, what they tend to say, not always, but typically, is that it was very quiet and calm, and people were very orderly.
People are social. They often gravitate toward one another. Miller recalls when one or two people did panic, others helped calm them. For Robin Gershon, the disaster researcher, she says looking ahead, one takeaway from all of this is the role of preparedness, about knowing who to turn to, how to respond, instead of spending so much time deciding what to do. And after 9/11, the city worked to update its building codes for the first time in three decades.
I think the fire code change was enormous, really enormous. All of a sudden, it made that fire safety director of all these high-rises have a much more influential role in protecting the health and well-being of the people in those buildings.
It includes a lot more training for building safety directors and occupants, and not just for fires, but for other types of emergencies, chemical attacks, or ones where exiting the building is not the best response. But for Amanda Ripley, a big takeaway is at the end of the day, people's most important tools and allies when it comes to major disasters will likely be each other, neighbors and coworkers.
This is important. Like, these are my first responders, you know, and I am theirs.
As for Peter Miller, his memories of 9/11 are still raw. He recalls people helping each other down the stairs. But as they descended, his own adrenaline wore off. He became less helpful. Other responders guided him to safety. And eventually, he made his way back to his apartment several hours later, to his wife, Kathy Miller.
we didn't know Peter was, I can't look at him, alive until 2 p.m. So that was very tough. The not knowing was very hard.
But in many ways, she suffered more profoundly than I did that day.
It was, on the one hand, it's hard to believe it ever happened. On the other hand, it's very immediate, and he was amazing.
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.